Welcome to the conference call. This is Donna Anselmo, host of AM 1060 WMEL's Bold Talk business radio show, which airs every Tuesday from 1 to 2 p.m. In February of this year, we interviewed bankruptcy attorney Alex Solomita, and he did a fantastic job of translating a complex subject into user-friendly information that helped our listeners better understand some of the legal remedies and options available to them under the bankruptcy laws. So we decided to partner with him to deliver information that can be very important to people who are listening and who are trying to manage excessive debt and get out from under the weight of large financial burdens. Please be aware that although we go to great lengths to make sure our information is accurate and useful, we recommend that you consult a lawyer if you want specific legal advice. No attorney-client or confidential relationship exists between the participants on this informational teleseminar or people listening to a recording as a result of this call. We are making the information available to help people understand more about legal remedies available for debt problems and to help you begin the process of exploring legal options. If you have severe debt issues and require legal counsel, please contact a qualified bankruptcy and/or debt management attorney. So one of the things we know about most people who deal with massive debt is that they work very hard to pay their bills. But unexpected situations such as job loss, a cut in pay, the need for expensive medical care, and diminished family income as the result of a divorce can leave people with less money than they expected to have to pay their bills. Sometimes people simply make a mistake in taking on more debt than they can manage and then believe they're going to catch up. But interest payments mount, and before they know it, people have more debt than they can reasonably expect to pay back in a reasonable amount of time. Luckily, the bankruptcy laws were established in the United States to help people get out from under massive debt, restructure payments, and get a fresh start. Today, we have bankruptcy attorney Alex Solomita ready to share his insight to the bankruptcy law and other debt relief strategies. And for anyone who tuned in late, this is Donna Anselmo, and I will be asking attorney Alex Solomita some of the frequently asked questions that he hears from people who are wondering how to solve their own debt problems. So, Alex Solomita, I know that people and families suffering from financial distress often see bankruptcy as the last resort, and they push off filing sometimes for years while continuing to accrue more debt. Why is that?
Well, Donna, most people don't understand how bankruptcy works. They don't know where to turn for their information, or they fear that they'll not be able to live a normal life after bankruptcy. It's just not an option that some people want to even explore, and it ends up hurting them in the long run if they don't at least get information, because you know, they may end up filing trying to file at a time that may not be as good for them. But you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, are, you know, misinformed about bankruptcy either by its reputation from the past, when I think it was looked down upon a little bit more, or just from, you know, everybody thinks the next day is going to get better and they're going to be able to fix things. And while that's true to a point, you know, sometimes you need help fixing those things.
People who are in a desperate financial situation may feel guilty. They may feel like they failed, and so that makes it even harder for them to reach out and admit that they're having difficulty. But the very reason as the laws were established was to help people, because there is a real understanding that sometimes there is difficulty in managing money and people do need help to overcome their financial problems. So if I were to file a bankruptcy claim and the court were to approve it, would I end up free and clear of all my debts, Alec?
Well, Donnie, to a point, yes. When you file bankruptcy, assuming you get your discharge, which is what occurs when the bankruptcy case is closed, the court discharges all your debts. The only debts that aren't dischargeable in a bankruptcy are most student loans, child support, alimony, any debts related to, you know, a criminal conviction. Those debts won't go away. Some of the IRS tax debt may not go away as well. Some do and some don't when it comes to the IRS. But for the most part, yes, you're going to be free and clear of all your debts. Most people, that includes a foreclosure or vehicle repossession or just secured loans for credit cards or medical bills.
Can you explain a little bit about the difference between filing for Chapter 7 bankruptcy and filing for Chapter 13. How are those two bankruptcy chapters different, and how do they affect the applicant differently?
Okay, Chapter 7 is a much quicker process. It's maybe a 3 to 4 month process, and the difference between a 7 and 13 is you get discharged of all your debt in 7. In Chapter 13, it's a reorganization of your debt. So you're repaying the court back over 3 to 5 years, as opposed to probably not having to pay anything back in a Chapter 7 or having to pay only a certain amount back to the court over a short period of time. A Chapter 7 is, you know, reserved more for people who don't make a lot of money. Some people can make a lot of money and still qualify, but for the most part, you have to be in the median income range. You know, there's a thing called the means test that determines whether you can even qualify for a Chapter 7. If you make too much money, you're probably going to be fine in Chapter 13. If you're trying to save your home, Chapter 13 works better because it gives you more time to get the house back where it needs to be. If you owe more money on your house, if you haven't paid your mortgage in a year or two and you want to catch up, you can't really catch up in 3 or 4 months in a Chapter 7. So you catch up in a Chapter 13 over time. So people in foreclosure situations who are trying to save their home, they generally will file a 13. People who owe a lot of money to the IRS will file a 13 because it tolls the interest rate. So that way you're just paying the money owed and not the interest. And people who have too many assets file a Chapter 13, because if you file a Chapter 7, while you will get your discharge, court does look at everything you own, all your assets, and if you can't protect your assets through exemptions, then you'll have to owe money to the court. And it's sometimes a lot easier to owe that, you know, to repay that money over 3 to 5 years in a 13 than it is to pay it in a year at best in a Chapter 7.
Chapter 13 is when people are restructuring their debts, making a payment plan, and paying out what the court determines they can afford to pay, whereas in a Chapter 7, the debts are totally discharged.
Yeah, I mean, in Chapter 13, the plan, your attorney will come up with the plan for the payment for the court, and the court just has to approve the plan. So the plan is really based on what you can afford, you know. So they'll look at your income and they'll look at your expenses, and any disposable income you have is probably going to be put towards paying the court on a monthly basis. Any assets you have that you want to keep that aren't fully protected by exemption, you know, that average is going to be put into the plan as well. So, but yes, and a 7, on the other hand, it's just simple. You file the case, and after 3 or 4 months, you're going to be discharged of all the debt.
So if I have to file for bankruptcy, is there a way I can protect my assets, for example, things I own, such as a car or a boat? I know you just mentioned the home, but how are you able to protect assets under the bankruptcy law? So if I have some, like a valuable car, for instance, am I going to lose that?
That's a good question. In either chapter, the court provides you with the exemption. Florida, which is a state obviously that we practice in here, they have a $1,000 motor vehicle exemption and a $1,000 personal property exemption that you can apply to what you own. Obviously, that's not a lot of money, but it can help out. In addition, the court provides you with the $4,000 wildcard exemption that you can use when you don't own a home. So, for instance, if you're not a homeowner, but you have a vehicle, you'll have enough exemption space to protect the vehicle, assuming you own it. Most people, obviously, are making car payments and usually owe about as much as their car is worth, or sometimes worse than that. Those people will be fine. Their cars are going to be kept in a bankruptcy. Most people keep their cars in a bankruptcy, either through reaffirming their debt because they're still making payments on their car, or if they own the vehicle outright, they're probably going to be able to keep it most of the time with the exemptions that the court provides. As far as your home is concerned, Florida is really good about this. We have the homestead exemption. So in bankruptcy, you can claim the homestead exemption and your house is protected. So you may have equity in your house. It doesn't matter. You're still protected. You could own your house outright with no mortgage It's still protected. The only way you're not protected, obviously, is if you're not paying your mortgage to the actual mortgage company. At some point, they're going to be able to take back the home if you don't end up fixing that part of it. But everybody else cannot touch your home. So that's one of the biggest benefits of living in Florida. Not every state provides that.
If I'm in debt, Alex Alameda, and I have a retirement account, an individual retirement account, is it wise to just take my IRA and use it to pay off my debt?
No. The retirement accounts are, you know, IRAs, 401ks, you know, accounts like that are exempt in bankruptcy. So it would be protected and they could still get rid of the debt. So at a minimum, I think before anybody does something to that effect, you know, paying off debt with an IRA, they should at least consult an attorney first and see what their situation entails. Some people, it may be the best option for them, but I'm going to say most people, it probably isn't.
Is it true that a creditor is not allowed to demand or place a lien against a retirement account?
I don't believe it. I got to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever heard of it.
I know that when people are under financial stress and they fall behind in their bills, it's very common for creditors to be calling on the phone. And in order to get out from under harassment by creditors, how does a bankruptcy filing keep people from calling you?
A lot of people, it's one of the things that ends up driving them into my office is they're tired of the creditor harassment. As soon as we file the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, an automatic stay is imposed by the court. And what an automatic stay is basically a freeze. It freezes all your creditors. They're not allowed to contact you. They're not allowed to take money from you without your permission, at least. You know, obviously, you can still pay your mortgage and your car payments if you're in a bankruptcy. But unsecured creditors, especially, who seem to be the most the biggest type to harass you, they're frozen. They can't collect. So you shouldn't receive any phone calls. And in fact, if you do receive phone calls from creditors during the bankruptcy trying to collect money, probably you can go after them.
When I'm filing for a bankruptcy, must I include every one of my debts in the bankruptcy filing, or may I elect to just pay off certain debts?
You have to list all your debts when you file bankruptcy. It requires a list of every creditor. I know that there might have been a time, maybe pre-2005, I wasn't a practicing attorney then, so I can't speak to whether it's true or not, but I've had clients who filed before say there was a time when you can pick and choose what debts you paid. It's not really that way anymore. You may not want to get rid of a credit card, but you still have to list every single debt. Even if it's a card you've had for 20 years and you're up to date on it, they're going to close it regardless. So might as well list every debt you have. It's going to go away regardless.
I think what I'm hearing you say is that if I have a credit card and I file for bankruptcy, when the credit card companies find out I filed for bankruptcy, they're going to cancel the card anyway. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. All right. So then, is there ever a time, just to clarify this, is there ever a time that a creditor can file a new claim after I have filed a bankruptcy petition?
The creditor can file, if you, let's say, for instance, right before you file bankruptcy, you use your credit card to purchase a new TV or take out a huge cash advance. In those situations, sure, a creditor can maybe file something and try to collect that type of money, because that would be a violation of, or a presumption of abuse in that sense. If you're a debtor and you're about to file bankruptcy, don't abuse your credit card right before you file. I guess is what I'm trying to say. But other than that, no. Once you file the bankruptcy, they can't come after you for past debts owed. That's anything in the future is another story. Anything that, you know, from the day you file backwards, they can't come after you unless they can prove abuse.
If somebody goes through a bankruptcy, that should get them off to a fresh start. They pay more attention to what they're doing. I know that they would have to go through, typically, right, a bankruptcy counseling session so that people learn what to do to manage their money and manage their credit going forward. Isn't that a requirement of the courts?
Yes, the court requires you to take one class before you file. It's called a credit counseling class. And then after you file, you're required to take what's called a debtor education class. And you take that before you can get your discharge. You have to complete that class.
So assuming then that somebody has gone through the bankruptcy process, taken the first course and then the second course, they should be able to understand what they have to do to stay free and clear of accruing massive debt again. In the event that somebody does go and somehow manages to get a personal loan or somebody files a lien against them, do they, if they have already filed a bankruptcy, is there ever a time that people can file bankruptcy again?
Yes, you can file bankruptcy again. There is timelines imposed, though. If you file a Chapter 7 and you get discharged, you can't file for another 8 years from the discharge date, at least in Chapter 7. File Chapter 13 after that, after the 7, you have to wait about 4 years from the date of your discharge. So you can't file it every year or anything like that. But yes, you're able to file again. Unfortunately, I've had clients who've had to file more than once in their lifetime. It just, sometimes life can be difficult.
I want to make a note to our listeners to please be aware that although we go to great lengths to make sure our information is accurate and useful, we do recommend that you consult a lawyer if you want legal advice on a specific case. This call does not, and this recording does not, provide an attorney-client relationship or imply that a confidential relationship exists between someone listening to this recording or listening on the teleseminar as a result of this call. But we are making the information available as an educational opportunity to help people understand more about legal remedies available for debt problems and to begin the process of exploring their legal options. Definitely do contact a qualified bankruptcy and or debt management attorney if you have problems. And also, be aware that we are speaking with attorney Alex Filomeda, who practices in Central Florida, and much of what we're talking about is relevant to filing for bankruptcy in the state of Florida and in the Middle District. Mr. Filomeda, we talked a little bit about what happens to people's property during a bankruptcy, but perhaps you could just clarify for us, will people lose their home when they file bankruptcy?
It depends on the circumstance. Most people do not lose their home unless they're already intending to lose it. I mean, there are some people, because of the nature of their property value and the affordability of their house, they're unable to make their payments. And they know this when they go into the bankruptcy. Those people are probably going to surrender their home in the bankruptcy. But most people who are up to date on their mortgage or are close to being up to date are going to be able to keep their home. Like I said before, they have a homestead exemption that protects your home. So it's really a matter of, can you afford to pay your mortgage? If so, you should be able to keep it going forward.
Does the same apply to furniture, cars, personal property? How do I know if I'm going to be able to keep what I own?
You can keep anything in the sense that you'll have the option to keep it. Sometimes you have to buy it back. And what that means is, like I also said before, you do get exemptions when you file bankruptcy. There's $1,000 for personal property, $1,000 for motor vehicle, and assuming you don't own a home, you get an additional $4,000 that you can protect whatever you like, the wildcard exemption. So most people in Chapter 7, because they're going through tough times, they probably don't have a ton of assets. So they may be okay. But there are some clients. I've had some recently. In fact, I had two cases today where both clients had to make what's called buyback agreements. One couple had a couple of vehicles that had some value to them that I couldn't protect. They were worth more than the exemptions allowed. So they had to buy back that portion of the vehicle. So for instance, let's say your car is worth $8,000 and I can protect $4,000 of it with the exemptions. That means you have to pay $4,000 back to the court. Most of the time pay back over the course of a year or so. So yes, you should be able to keep these items, assuming you can, number one, protect them with your exemptions, or number two, if they're worth it to you and it's fair, you can buy them back with the court. And your attorney can, help prepare for a situation like that. I know I always try to let my clients know what damage they might be facing, if they are facing damage at all.
What about my preparing to do bankruptcy, and I know I'm in a difficult circumstance, I want to protect something for my family. Am I allowed to sell or transfer property before I file bankruptcy?
I would not recommend it. I have seen that happen before, and what people have to understand, because everybody wants to do this, as soon as you tell them, well, your car is worth $10,000 and I can only protect $4,000 of it, or 5,000 of it even. Everybody wants to sell their car to their brother, and keep it. And that's, number one, that's fraudulent. But number two, you have to disclose any sales or transfers of personal belongings or property of any kind for the previous 2 years before you file bankruptcy. It's required in your petition. And if you happen to not put it on the petition, you're also asked by the trustee at the creditor meeting about it. So whether you sold or transferred anything. So in my opinion, can you sell stuff? Absolutely. But you just have to make sure that you're not selling it for a dollar. You better sell it for its proper value, and you better disclose it to the court. Transferring is another story. Obviously, if you're transferring something just to avoid creditors, once again, that's fraudulent, and you'll probably end up having to pay it back or worse. So I would not recommend doing that.
One of the reasons that we did today's call is that we want to help people make informed decisions about their assets and their properties and their debt management before they make a mistake like selling or transferring property that ends up jeopardizing their opportunity to discharge their debts through bankruptcy proceedings. And I want to thank Attorney Alex Solomita of Solomita Law in Orlando, Florida, for joining us on today's conference call. And people are welcome to watch for answers and insights to other facets of debt and debt relief and bankruptcy chapters on the Solomita Law blog. So if you continue to think about your debt situation, or you know somebody who needs more information on debt relief and bankruptcy, then please visit the internet at solomitalawblog.com, where you can read our articles on the subject, or connect with Solomita Law and send us any of your own questions right on the form on the Solomita Law website. That's Solomita Law, LAW.com, solomitalaw.com. And of course, if you have questions about your personal circumstances, feel free to contact Solomita Law for answers to your specific questions or needs. You can also reach Solomita Law at 407-545-3625, and you can send email to staff@solomitalaw.com, and I know that Alex Solomita and his team will respond to your questions as soon as possible. Alex, before we close out the call, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners, any points that we didn't cover that you think would be important for someone to think about?
Well, I think we covered most of the pertinent points, but I just always want to emphasize that if you're in a bad situation, financially speaking, and you have questions, the best thing you can do is consult an attorney in the field of bankruptcy or debt relief, whatever you're looking for. To try to go it alone is probably not ever going to be the best option. At least get information. I have too many people that I've talked to point in time who were too fearful to get more information, or maybe even a little stubborn, and they come back. And when they come back, their situation isn't as good, and it could have been avoided and gone a much better route had they just come to me initially, or come to any attorney, and gotten the pertinent information to make sure that they can make an informed decision that will help better their situation. So that's the main thing I want people to understand is, it's not anything to be embarrassed about, and it's nothing to be, you have to be on your own. Just, get a consultation with an attorney. Let them know your full situation, and if they're a good attorney, they should be able to tell you your options. And from that point, you can make your decision. Without getting those options, you're just putting yourself on a bad path, in my opinion.
Thank you, Alex Solomita, for that insight. And I want to thank participants for being with us today and advise you to watch for our blog and Facebook page for announcements of the next teleseminar, which will be coming up in May. And you can sign up for that at solomitalaw.com as soon as we post that again on the blog. We also have an informational newsletter, The Briefing, which is published now every month. And you can get announcements of upcoming news and events. So take care, and remember that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. You always have a choice, so take control of your decisions, explore your options, and definitely ask for help when you need it.
For answers to your questions about information contained in this segment, contact Solomita Law at 407-545-3625.